are here this morning. My name is Trevor. Welcome. It's good to be with you at John Adams Middle School in Santa Monica. If you're at home, we'd hope to have you out here. As soon as you're ready to come, please come and join us. If you're here live or at home, would you open your Bible to John chapter 6? John chapter 6. We got a car alarm going on in the background. We got airplanes. We got all kinds of things. We got are those dragonflies? Is that right? I don't know what those are. Flying around. All right, John chapter 6. We are back in the Gospel of John. This is a section of Scripture that's about Jesus, and we're going to spend some time in John chapter 6 this morning, verses 41 through 71. We're going to do it briefly, and it's going to be for everyone. So, kids, if you're here, this message is for you. This message is for all of us, John chapter 6, 41 through 71. Just a couple of weeks ago, my kids and I discovered an app on our phones that allow you to take your face and put it on a video of someone else so that it really genuinely looks like you. How many of you are familiar with deepfakes? Deepfakes, that term, right? This thing happened like, I don't know, maybe 5 years ago. We started seeing that you could take a picture of someone or even a video of someone and you could replace a different face on them and it could confuse people. And if you read or know anything about deepfakes, it's very controversial because people are concerned that especially in an age of information, we might be misinformed. How many of you have seen a video that you're pretty sure is not real, is fake in this political season? How many of you, a show of hands? Yeah, lots of you have, right? So deep fakes are a problem. And why are they a problem? I mean, on the one hand, we discovered this app as a family and thought it was very funny to put like our kids' faces. I thought it was funny. My wife, not so much. I thought it was funny to take my kids' faces and put them on different, you know, on Iron Man or whatever and show it to them. I thought it was hilarious. I have a friend who kind of looks like Ralph Macchio from The Karate Kid. I put his face on the Karate Kid movie. It's very funny. But they're also very dangerous. And the reason they're dangerous is because something we recognize intuitively is that when it comes to something fake, fake things are never as good as the real thing. And fake things can be very dangerous. And here's my argument this morning, my contention this morning. Here's what I'm going to proclaim to you this morning. I hope you hear this. Fake Jesus exists. And fake Jesus will fail you. Fake Jesus exists, and fake Jesus will fail you. Now, some of you go, well, what do you mean fake Jesus exists, and what do you mean fake Jesus will fail you? Well, I'll walk through that in John chapter 6. If you have a Bible, John chapter 6, we're going to start at verse 41. Jesus has just finished talking to a crowd, and he's declared to that crowd that he is the bread of life. And he just got done saying in John 6, where we're going to read, he just got done saying that he has come from heaven, that he's come from heaven. And he's sitting around a crowd that is skeptical of what he's going to say. And this is what he says in John 6, starting at verse 41. It says this: "At this, the Jews there began to grumble about him because he said, 'I am the bread that came down from heaven.' They said, 'Is this not Jesus, the son of Joseph, whose father and mother we know? How can he now say, I came down from heaven?'" So Jesus says, "I'm the bread of life. I've come from heaven." And their people start grumbling. And why do they grumble? Because they say, "Hold on a second. We know you. Mary is your mom. Joseph is your dad. What do you mean you've come from heaven?" They're skeptical of this claim he's made that he's come from heaven. And so here's the first thing I want to say. Fake Jesus exists, and fake Jesus is not from heaven and does not claim to be God. Fake Jesus is not God. Now, you think that that's kind of a strange thing to say. We live in a culture where we think of Jesus. Maybe you think of him as a teacher. Maybe you think of him as someone who provides some sort of wisdom or advice for your life. But I want you to hear that Jesus claims to be God. And there are people today who will say, "Oh, I believe in Jesus until he says he's God. The moment he says he's God, I'm out." And so people today believe in a Jesus that is not God. And the Jesus that is not God is a fake Jesus. So the crowd begins to say, you're not God? We know your mom and dad. What are you talking about? That's confusing. Jesus could then, he could kind of say, you know, here's the deal. That claim, it's a hard claim. I get it. It's a tough thing to say. Let me lower the bar and make it easier for you. Does he do that? No. This is his response when they're saying, you can't be God. We know your mom and dad. Jesus says, verse 43, he says, stop grumbling among yourselves. No one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draws them, and I will raise them up at the last day. Verse 45, it is written in the prophets, they will all be taught by God. Everyone who has heard the Father and learned from him comes to me. No one has seen the Father except the one who is from God. Only he has seen the Father. Very truly I tell you, the one who believes has eternal life. I am the bread of life. Your ancestors ate the manna in the wilderness, yet they died. But here is the bread that comes down from heaven, which anyone may eat and not die. I am the living bread that came down from heaven. Whoever eats this bread will live forever. This bread is my flesh, which I would give for the life of the world. Jesus doubles down, right? They say that they are sort of skeptical that he is God. And his response is, stop grumbling, right? Not only am I from the Father, but I'm the only one who's ever seen the Father. And not only am I the only one who's ever seen the Father, but then he says, you think it's hard to take that I'm the bread of life? Let me be really clear. I'm giving up my flesh for you, and you're going to have to take my flesh. And this is going to push them sort of into a position where now they're even more frustrated. Jesus does not lower the bar. He increases what he says. He doubles down and he says, eat my flesh. You're going to have to eat my flesh. We'll get to that in a second. And what's the response to this? Verse 52, then the Jews begin to argue sharply among themselves, saying, how can this man give us his flesh to eat? They've gone from skeptical to shocked. They're shocked at what Jesus has said, that they can't believe it. But then he continues on, and he says this in verse 53. He said, very truly I tell you, unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in you. Whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life, and I will raise them up at the last day. For my flesh is real food, and my blood is real drink. Whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood remains in me, and I in them. Just as the living Father sent me, and I live because of the Father, so the one who feeds on me will live because of me. This is the bread that came down from heaven. Your ancestors ate manna and died. But whoever feeds on this bread will live forever. He said this while teaching in the synagogue in Capernaum. Okay, so Jesus takes an audience that was skeptical. He tells them that he is the only one who's ever seen God, that he is in fact God. He says that then he is offering up his flesh. They are now shocked. And his response is to say, oh, also, you're going to have to drink my blood too. Now, let me be really clear to all of those who are listening. Christians are not cannibals, and Jesus doesn't want Christians to be cannibals. Part of the reason that they're shocked is because the Bible had taught, the Old Testament had taught, that you're not to consume blood. And so Jesus is saying something. Now, what is Jesus teaching? Well, he just got done, if you look back in verse 40, by saying, anyone who looks to me, right, anyone who looks to me will ultimately be saved. And so he's not talking about how we actually have to eat his flesh and we actually have to drink his blood. I know that, like, that's the first place we go, especially if you're Christian, you might think about this table, and we'll get to this table in a minute. But John's not primarily talking about this table. He's talking about the Word of God who took on flesh and is going to offer his flesh and blood at the cross for the benefit of all who would receive him. But notice that Jesus says this, not only am I God, but in the text we just read, he says, if you don't receive me, there is no life in you. This brings me to my second thing I want to say. Fake Jesus is one way to God. See, here's the thing. There are so many people who would accept the claim Jesus is God, but you know what? He's just one of many ways. That essentially every religion kind of is a pathway up to the same mountain. And Jesus is one of those ways. But I just want to be clear, that's not what Jesus says. Right? He says, do you want life in you? Look, you may be alive. And if you're here this morning, you're alive. And you're physically alive. But Jesus teaches that unless we receive him, we will remain spiritually dead. That only in him he offers spiritual life. Now, this is offensive. This moves the audience from shocked to offended. They are offended. Verse 60, it's very clear in verse 60. It says, on hearing it, his disciples said, this is a hard teaching. Who can accept it? This is hard. And then what does Jesus do? Right? Does he say, you know what, I'm sorry. I'll lower the bar. I'll make it easier for you. No. The disciples say, this is a hard teaching. And what does he say in verse 61? He said, aware that his disciples were grumbling about this, Jesus said to them, does this offend you? To which they're all saying, yes, it offends us. You're claiming to be God. You're claiming to be the only way. You're claiming we have to receive your flesh and your blood. Like, yes, that's offensive. What claim is more offensive in our world today than, yes, you can be right with God, but there's only one way to be right with God, and it is through Jesus? That is an offensive claim. That is, if you start sharing that truth from Jesus, you will find yourself in difficult conversations, because our world very much wants to say, no, there's lots of ways that we can be right with God. We don't have to accept Jesus. But then in doing so, they start believing in a fake Jesus. What does Jesus say when they are offended? He goes further. He says, then, verse 62, then what if you see the Son of Man ascend to where he was before? The Spirit gives life. The flesh counts for nothing. The words I've spoken to you, they are full of the Spirit and life. Yet there are some of you who do not believe. For Jesus had known from the beginning which of them did not believe and who would betray him. He went on to say, this is why I told you that no one can come to me unless the Father enables them. Jesus says, does this offend you? Well, you haven't seen anything yet. If you think this offends you, you're never going to make sense of when I return to the Father on ascension. I'm going to ascend. I'm going to die. I'm going to rise again on the third day, and then I'm going to ascend to be with the Father, and you're going to be bewildered. You think this is offensive? You won't know how to make sense of my ascension. This leads me to my third attribute of fake Jesus. Fake Jesus never offends you. This is the one I think you probably need to hear the most. Sure, maybe you say, you know, I believe in the Jesus who is God. I believe that Jesus is the only way to life. But maybe you land in this place where you say, but the Jesus I worship, he doesn't ever offend me. He agrees with me on everything. We're great pals. He likes all the people that I like. He votes exactly how I would vote. He thinks the same thing, that my neighbor is wrong and that I'm right. He affirms me constantly. That's what we think. The real Jesus offends. Fake Jesus never offends. In verse 67, Jesus turns to his disciples, who he knows he's offended. And in verse 66, it says that many of his disciples turned back and no longer followed him. Many of his disciples turned back and no longer followed him. We don't talk often about the followers that Jesus loses. Sometimes I'll be in a conversation with someone and they will say, man, can you believe that that person no longer follows Jesus? And my first thing in my head is, well, of course I believe that. John 6, it happens. Like, Jesus says hard things. It's why he spends so much time saying, like, if you really want this, the Father has to draw you. See, because the crowd starts out skeptical, and then they become shocked, and then they move from shocked to offended, and then they move from offended to leaving. Some of you have people in your life who started to encounter Jesus, not fake Jesus, the real Jesus, and are going, I'm not sure I want to follow him. And we're surprised when people leave. It should sadden you and break your heart when people leave, but it should never really shock you. If it shocks you, I question that you've really read the real Jesus. He loses disciples. What about you this morning? What about you? Here's the modern story. This is the modern story. Human beings are good. God must change. The biblical story is that God is good and we must change. So let me ask you, is the Jesus you follow, have you changed Jesus so that he's more like you, or do you recognize that he wants to change you so that you would become like him? Must God change? Must Jesus change? Or must we? Fake Jesus, the Jesus who is not God, is not the only way, and never offends you, fake Jesus will fail you. Only the real Jesus will save you. So my question for you this morning is, who is hungry for spiritual life? Who is hungry for the bread of life? Who among you senses deep within you that, yes, it is difficult sometimes to follow Jesus? Here's what I love, that there are disciples who walk away, but there are others who just kind of hold on because they see that, I don't know, there's something about him, there's something about Jesus that we can't escape. That's why Jesus is always talking about the Father drawing us. Notice what he says in verse 68 and verse 69. This is Jesus says, he says, do you want to leave, to the disciples? I maybe want to ask you that question this morning. When you encounter the real Jesus, do you have this desire to walk away? Jesus looks at you and says, do you want to leave? And Simon Peter answers him in verse 68, Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. We have come to believe and to know that you are the Holy One of God. What's Peter's response amidst this challenge? Where else am I going to go? Where else am I going to go? I love what Scott said earlier, right? Jesus doesn't come just to give us answers, or God doesn't just want to give us answers. He wants to give us himself. He gives us himself. The greatest thing Jesus can give you is himself. Some of you are Christian. Some of you have lost your hunger. You're no longer hungry. And here's what I just want you to know. If you've settled for a fake Jesus will fail you. But the real Jesus will save you. The real Jesus will satisfy you. The real Jesus is the only one who can transform you and renew you and fulfill you. And he's real and he's good. And he offers himself to you this morning. And he asks you this question, are you hungry? And when you start to say, I am hungry, he wants you to say, the Father is at work in you. God is at work in you. And if you're here this morning and you're hungry, I want you to know there is satisfaction and fulfillment. Your hunger can have an end. It has its end in the real Jesus. So here's what I want you to do. if you have not spent time with the real Jesus, listening to his words, give him a couple minutes every day this week. Reread this text, meditate on it, allow him to speak to you, allow him to offend you, and allow him to save you. Follow him, even when it's hard. There's a lot of room in this church for people who say, I am following Jesus, and boy, is it hard. Welcome to the club. We love you. We are here for you. We're here to do this together. We do not anticipate that following Jesus is going to be easy. He himself spoke of it as a kind of cross-carrying, self-denying kind of life. But we're here to do it together. Don't try to change Jesus. Be changed by him instead. Because out of his great love for you, he went to a cross so that he could give up his flesh and blood, so that anybody who would say, I am really spiritually hungry, because I know Christians who aren't spiritually hungry, Christians who call themselves Christians, but really they worship a fake Jesus. What I want you to do this morning is to understand that if you're really hungry for the things of God, that Jesus makes himself available to you. He came, he took on our sin, our wrongdoing, he paid for it all so that we could be clean, so that we could walk with God, and so that we, like he promised, could live forever. Do you know that life forever is available to you this morning? It is in and through Jesus. Only Jesus, only the real Jesus saves us, transforms us, renews us, comforts us, and fulfills us. Let us together make much of him. Let us make sure that we are the kind of church that doesn't worship a fake Jesus. We worship the real Jesus even when his words are hard. Amen? Let us pray. Jesus, we come before you recognizing that we often try to recreate you in our image rather than be changed by you and transformed by you. Humble us and deliver us from that temptation. God, I want to pray for those who are here this morning who are spiritually hungry, those you're drawing to yourself. Lord, would you help them to see that your way is both easy in that they find their rest in you and they can fully rest from their work in you, but it's also hard in that the life of following you is a picking up our cross, denying ourselves kind of life. Deliver us from false conceptions of you and satisfy our souls, for we are so desperately hungry and we long for you. You are the bread of life. There's bread we will eat maybe today, this week, bread that will satisfy for a moment, but bread that will not really give us life forever. You are the bread of life and the one who gives us life forever. Help us to taste and to know that you're good, to receive you with open hands and open arms. In your name we pray. Amen.